from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Do you remember your first fight? It might be the first fight you were in or the first fight you saw. When I was in like middle school, which we called junior high, I got in a couple fights where it was like, we're meeting after school, at the park, on the playground, it's on! And people came to watch, and it was just stupid. It was someone who I shouldn't have been fighting with. We're basically friends. We're fighting over something dumb. It's like, what are we doing here?
Everybody was kung fu.
And then I got in some fights in high school. Let me mention, I did not become a Christian until college. I got in some fights in high school where I was so shocked by what I did. Like, I got in a fight on a bus once, in like the seat of a bus, where this kid swung at me, I ducked, and then I hit him like right in his face, but his head was right close to a frozen window. This was in New York in winter. And when I hit him, his head smashed into the window, and then he just kind of slumped down in the seat. And I was like, oh, I can't believe I did that. What have I done? Do you remember your first political fight? Probably not, but man, people get in a lot of political fights these days, don't they? People get so worked up about politics and so passionate, and so angry that I don't know if they ever stop and think, this is dumb. What are we doing here? Or maybe after saying something mean and hateful, I can't believe I did that. What have I done? We're in a series called The Separation of Church and Hate because I believe in the separation of church and hate. More importantly, Jesus does. He says there's no place in his church for hate. So we're talking about politics. And let me tell you again what I'm not going to do and what I am going to do. I am not going to tell you which party is the right one or who you should vote for. What we're doing is I'm hoping to challenge you to ask you first, if you're really willing to follow Jesus. We have this goal, like, what if we put our faith filter ahead of our political filter? Second, if you're willing to prioritize Jesus' heart and Jesus' reputation, we have a goal of talking about politics and responding to people in a way that honors Jesus. Third, if you're willing to put love above everything. We have a goal of being able to disagree politically, but love unconditionally. The last couple weeks, we've talked about humility and civility. Today, dignity. And dignity means to treat someone as being worthy of honor and respect. To treat someone as being worthy of honor and respect. There is not a lot of dignity going around these days. I mean, people call each other names, put each other down, use questionable data to support their arguments. It's like everything is fair game, except maybe mothers.
I will smash your face into a car windshield and then take your mother, Dorothy Mantooth, out for a nice seafood dinner and never call her again.
Dorothy Mantooth is a saint! Hey. You understand me? Dorothy Mantooth is a saint!
Hey, leave the mothers out of this, all right?
And this lack of dignity is especially evident in politics. We see politicians who attack each other, call each other names, mock. None of that is giving dignity. And it's not just politicians. It's people who are passionate about politics. Same thing, they attack, they name call, they mock. Mostly we see it on social media. And the thing is, it's totally accepted. Like, listen, there was a time if a politician talked that way, totally unacceptable. And normal people did not treat each other like that. Totally unacceptable. Today, totally accepted. And we could say, well, that's the way the world is. It is what it is. Yeah, it is what it is, but it's not for us. It's not for followers of Jesus. Now, you may not be a follower of Jesus. We get lots of people at Verve, kind of checking out Verve, who don't believe, who are more investigating spirituality, Christianity. If that's you, that is awesome. Thank you for checking us out. You should consider taking Next Step. It will help you to better understand the foundations of the Christian faith. And here's one of them. We Christians believe that every single person is created in the image of God. Every person, including the people you're tempted to hate, is a child of God created in His image. A child of God. Man, think about that. So you can say crap about me, but you cannot say crap about my kids. And we Christians believe that every person is a child of God created in His image. And so, of course, we treat them with dignity because they are worthy of honor and respect. We Christians also believe that every single person is someone Jesus died for. And that person who you're tempted to think is a nobody worth nothing is a somebody Jesus paid everything for. And so, of course, we treat every person with dignity because they're worthy of honor and respect. And so, first question I want to ask you today. As we think about politics and issues that divide people, all the people on the other side, the people who think different, don't have the same values, don't agree with you, do you think of them as created in the image of God, as people Jesus died for? Do you always speak about them and speak to them and treat them with dignity because you know they are worthy of honor and respect? That's part of what it means to follow Jesus and to live a life that pleases God. Because that is what we Christians believe. It's what Jesus, it's what God has taught us to believe. And so we always treat people with dignity as if they are value. In fact, all through the Bible, one of the things God does over and over is tell His people to value the least valued people, to look after the vulnerable, to care for those who might struggle to care for themselves, to protect those who are not able to protect themselves. Like, here's one example. There's a ton. But in God tells us in Psalm 82, verse 3, give justice to the poor and the orphan, uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. In the Bible book of Amos, yes, there's a book of the Bible called Amos. No, it's not the guy who makes the cookies. And then again, in the Bible book called Isaiah, God tells His people that He will not accept their worship. He's like, you can sing your songs, you can fast, you can pray, I will not accept your worship. Wait, what? Why? He tells them, because they were not seeking justice for the vulnerable and needy, because they were not caring for those who struggled to care for themselves. And then Jesus shows up on earth, and in His very first sermon, when He announces Himself, He says, it's in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, that He came to care for the least, for those who struggle to care for themselves. And He tells His followers, us, to do the same. In fact, in Matthew chapter 25, verses 32 through 45, Jesus tells us that on judgment day, there will be people who come up to Him and say, Lord, Lord, and He will respond, what? Why do you call Me Lord? And they'll be like, because we believed in You. And He'll tell them, no, you didn't. And they'll be confused, yes, we did. And here's what He'll respond. Matthew 25, 25, starting in verse 42. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth, when you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me. They're like, we believed in you. And he's like, no, actually you didn't. If you did, you would have valued the least valuable people. You would have served the least of these. So listen, all through the Bible, we learn that God is for the least of these, that he gives them dignity, that God is for the hated Samaritans, the left out Gentiles. God tells us that he's for the poor, that he's for the widows, that he's for the orphans, that he's for the immigrants, that he's for the refugees. And there are bunches and bunches of Bible verses on every single one of them. God is for them, and he tells his people that we are to be for them. What God is trying to do is give dignity to everyone. I like the way this is put in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. It says, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Back then, people were considered less than because of race, economic situation, and gender. And that verse says that because of Jesus, there is no Jew or Gentile. That's race. It's addressing racism. And it says there's no slave or free. That's economics. Back then, slavery was not based on race. Poor people were forced to sell themselves into slavery to pay off debt so they could live. And it says there's no male or female. That's gender. In their world, women were considered property. And this is saying not anymore, not in God's kingdom. And the idea there is, we are all equal. Back then, this was a new, extraordinary, disruptive idea. No one thought that everyone was equal. But Christians did. And Christians do. It's what Christians believe. That's how Christians behave. We are all equal. We all have dignity. And when they don't, when Christians don't act that way, God takes it really seriously. I mean, that's obvious from those verses, right? He won't accept your worship. He tells people who didn't care for the least of these, I never knew you. Now, I understand that maybe you grew up being taught something different. You might have been taught that some people were better than others. Maybe that Americans were better than people from other countries, or that American citizens were better than immigrants, or people with a certain color of skin were better than people with a different color skin, or people with money were better than poor people or the homeless. And it can be difficult to overcome what we've always been taught and always believed. In the Bible, we meet this guy named Peter. Peter was a follower of Jesus. Peter grew up being taught that Jews were better than Gentiles. And so Peter was racist against Gentiles. And his beliefs should have changed because he spent 3 years with Jesus, and Jesus repeatedly taught Peter and all of his other followers to treat everyone equally. After spending 3 years with Jesus, Peter knew that he was to treat everyone as equal. And then God did this crazy thing. You can read about it in the book of Acts, A-C-T-S, Acts chapter 10, where God gives Peter a vision to let him know that he has to accept Gentiles, which he already knew because of his time with Jesus. He knew that he was to treat everyone with dignity, to treat everyone as equal, and he did. Except when some Jewish people were around, and he worried what they might think about him being friends with Gentiles. And so he stopped hanging around the Gentiles. What happened? Well, Paul, another of the early Christian leaders, sees Peter acting racist. I mean, he wasn't saying racist things, but he just wouldn't hang around with the different race people. And here's how Paul describes what happens next in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? Paul says that what Peter was doing by acting like people of his own race were better was, he says, it was very wrong. He says it was hypocrisy, and he says it was not following the truth of the gospel message. So Paul opposed him to his face, is what he said, because what Peter was doing was sin. And if you believe that your race or your nationality is better than another, if you believe that people who have more money are worth more than poor people or homeless people, if you believe that citizens are more important than immigrants, that's sin. And that is not what Vince thinks. That's what God says. Christians believe every single person is created in the image of God. Every single person is someone Jesus died for, and so we treat everyone with dignity, because everyone is worthy of honor and respect. It's interesting, because of that belief, Christianity totally redefined the value of those considered the least valuable. The history of that happening is not in the Bible. It's like things that happened after the Bible was written. History tells us that Christianity totally redefined the value of people. Back in the Bible time, so many people were considered less than, but the belief that these Christians had, that everyone is created in the image of God, that Jesus died for everyone, gave dignity to those who before had none. I'll give you just one example. Children, infants. Back in Jesus' time, they had no value. That's how they were treated in Jewish culture, and even more in Roman culture, which was kind of the dominant culture back then. For instance, back then, they didn't have abortion. They didn't need to because infanticide was legal. It was actually encouraged. And so if someone didn't want a baby, they would give birth to the baby, and then they would just put it out in the town's dump. The dump was a pile. It was a hill of the town's poop, literally. And you would put the child out to die. It was a practice they called exposure. The child would die on that dump. Or maybe they would be eaten by a wild animal. Some were taken by people who wanted to make them a slave. It's like a free slave. And so they go and take this baby and raise it to be their slave. And for the rest of that kid's life, his name would be Kopros. The word Kopros means poop. And this kid would be named that. They named all the kids that they got there that because they were found on a pile of it. And it had been that way for hundreds of years, thousands of years. But then the followers of Jesus started going and rescuing children who were left on the pile of Kopros, not to make them slaves, but to adopt them into their families. Why? Because those babies were made in the image of God. Jesus died for them. They had worth, value, dignity. And man, Christianity started growing. And Christians increasingly influenced how people, how culture thought. And check this. In 318 AD, the Roman Empire made infanticide illegal. In fact, in 374 AD, the Roman Empire made infanticide a capital offense. If your baby lost its life because of you, you would lose your life. What? Why? How did, after all those years, how did it change? Because of the teachings of Jesus. Because Christians redefined the value of those considered the least valuable. Because Christians elevated the dignity of everyone. That's the impact Christians had. That's what they were known for. But I'm not so sure Christians today are known for redefining the value of those considered the least valuable and elevating the dignity of everyone. Now, Christians are known today in general for being pro-life. Just like Christians 2,000 years ago protected the lives of unwanted babies after birth, Christians today are known for protecting the lives of unwanted babies before birth. And I think that's good. The Bible tells us that God knows babies while they're still in the womb, that he has a plan for their lives from when they're first conceived. And so we should be for them, for their lives. Unborn babies are a great example of the least of these, those who can't care for themselves. And so we should be pro-life. But being pro-life is about more than that. The reason Christians are pro-life is because we believe that that unborn baby is created in the image of God and therefore has the sanctity of life. Their life is sacred because they were made in the image of God. But as Christians, we believe that every person is created in the image of God. Therefore, every person has inherent value. Therefore, we need to be pro-life from the womb to the tomb. I mean, if you follow Jesus, you should be pro-life, pro-all life. And so we need to ask, am I pro-life? And what does it mean to be pro-life for kids, for immigrants, for the disabled, for the poor, for people who have different color skin, for groups of people often on the losing end of the criminal justice system, for the elderly? We are for all people. And Jesus like tells us to especially care for the least of these. So God wanted to change Peter's heart. He used Paul to do that. And I bet he wants to change ours. I know that he wants to change mine. So what do we do? What do we do? Can I suggest three things? First, act with dignity in everything, and certainly with politics. Before you say something, before you type something on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or whatever, ask yourself, is this dignified? Like, whatever this is about, am I treating that person as being worthy of honor and respect? Second suggestion, identify your prejudices. So here's the problem. Almost none of us would say we're prejudiced. So let me define this for you. Prejudice means prejudging. It's having a preconceived opinion about someone. Do you have those? Maybe rich people are snobs, poor people are lazy, Republicans are all greedy, they don't care about people, Democrats are all socialists, Asian people are all, white people are all, black people are all, women are all, men are all, younger people today, they all, get off my lawn! How about this? Do you ever say or think, I'm not racist, but, listen, nothing good comes after that but. I think we need to recognize that we all have some prejudice and racist thinking, and we need to identify our prejudices. We need to ask God to change our hearts. Paul Alexander is the president of my daughter's college, and he said it this way. He said, it may be that my first thought is prejudice or racist. And maybe I just can't help that first thought from popping into my mind. I don't want it to, but I can't seem to help it. It might be something I've heard or thought for a long time, but then there's a second thought. And that second thought, I can control that. I get to choose that thought. And I can choose for that second thought to not go with that first one. I have that first thought, maybe I can't help it, but then I can stop it there and I can cut it off right there. I can use that second thought to overcome the first thought. We need to identify our prejudices and ask God to change our hearts. Third suggestion, ready? Do something with dignity. What might you do? Well, you might intentionally build a relationship with someone different from you. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I went out for breakfast with a black woman in our church who grew up a couple decades ago in North Carolina just to listen to her story, to try to understand where she's coming from and what she's been through. Maybe you build a relationship with someone who doesn't have the same color skin, or who doesn't believe the same things about politics as you do, or doesn't believe the same things about God. Build a bridge. You may learn something. It might change your thinking. And even if it doesn't, it will help to humanize the people you don't know or don't agree with. And you might serve people who are different from you, or take action with an issue that's important to you. But whatever you do, do it with dignity. This is why at Verve, we've adopted the Marble Manor Housing Project. It's a neighborhood in Las Vegas that's one of the worst for poverty and crime and drugs. The city actually gave us an apartment that we have converted into a teen center, and we have volunteers there on Monday and Wednesday nights, not right now with COVID, but generally, and we help kids with their homework and reading, and we give them snacks, and you could do that. Like, you could volunteer there. And here's something else we're going to do together. So, check this. In a typical month, we will have about 213 financial offerings. Not 213 people who gave, because some people give an offering every week, so that'd be four, you know, that count as four offerings in a month. And not $213, because people typically give more than a dollar, but 213 different times that someone gives something financially. This month, we took the first dollar of each of those offerings, so $213, and we added in an extra $87 to bring it up to $300, and we went out and we did this. Hey, we're about to meet Lamar, who has no idea what's going to happen. Lamar is housing insecure, which means he's not homeless, but he's on the verge of that. And we found out that money is especially an issue right now, and so we're going to go bless him.
How many of you live there in the house?
It's the daughter, myself, and the three gentlemen.
So five of you guys and then the daughter?
Yes.
And so if he gets evicted, do you lose your place that
of
you're
course.
Living?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man, I'm sorry.
Yes.
So our church kind of took up an offering, and we want to help you out. I know that you're having a hard time right now financially, and so we have $300 that we wanted to give you just to show you that God loves you, and thanks for letting us help you today.
Hey, man, my pleasure. My thanks, pleasure. Man. Thank y'all. Thank y'all.
Yep.
Thank
you're y'all. You're welcome.
Man, yeah. I get this thing at me, and
man, that was so awesome to be able to bless someone like that and someone who needs some value, who's struggling and could use some care. And like I said, to be able to give that amount, an amount that really makes a difference, that's only possible because of the church, right? It's possible because of the church, because we is greater than me. So we're going to do that again next month. Here's what I would love. I would love to be able to give more. The way we'll be able to give more is if more people give more often. Because what we're going to do is take the first dollar from each offering over the next month to do this. Maybe you haven't been in the habit of giving consistently. Okay, this might be what you need to get started. Your first dollar will go towards doing a video love ambush next month, which we'll show you next month. And the rest of your offering after that first dollar will go towards the rest of our ministry, which is all about loving people in Jesus' name. If you're listening and you're like, I don't want to give to the church. I just don't want to. I just want to give to the person in need. Okay, well then just give a dollar. And that's where your dollar will go. The first dollar of everyone's offering will go towards that. You can give a dollar a week if you want. Like, you can even set up a recurring gift of $1, and that would be four different offerings, and all four of your dollars would go to this. Pretty cool, right? And let's do this, man. It's going to be so much fun. Let's do this. Why? Because we can prioritize Jesus' heart and reputation this way, and because we put love above everything. That's who God has called us to be as Christians, as the church. Let's be that. And let's pray for that right now. God, you call us as people who believe in you and follow Jesus to lives of dignity and to treat people with dignity as deserving honor and respect. And we believe they do because we believe that every person was created in your image and everyone is someone Jesus died for. God, would you help us to choose in this moment to start treating everyone with dignity? We are people who give value to everyone, especially those who are considered less valuable. God, man, how fun is it to be able to bless someone financially who really needs it? And so, God, I pray that this would just stir up generosity in us and that next month, instead of 213 offerings, there will be 426 offerings, that there will be a lot of people who would say, man, I can give $10. I can give $20. If the first dollar is going to go to that, man, that's pretty cool. Even if I can only give a dollar, I'm going to give a dollar so that my first dollar can go to that. God, that's what we want to be about as a church, is blessing people in Jesus' name. Help us to treat people with dignity, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.